Blog Talk Radio.
Time is filled with swift transition. No earth unmoved can stand. Changing hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Changing hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. God's unchanging hand.
Indeed, indeed, everything around us is changing. Everything around us is changing fast. Everything around us is changing fast for the worst. But the one thing that is constant, the one thing we can count on, is God's unchanging hand. Who is this God? He's your Heavenly Father. He's my Heavenly Father. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are in series number 27, entitled Satan Here, There, and Everywhere. But not for long. Our scripture text comes to us by means of Job chapter 1, verse 7, which is our principal text, and it reads, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, again, we cling to thy unchanging hand. One of the ways in which we do so, Lord, is by coming on this broadcast each and every day. For in it, we discover that you are for us. And as Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? So bless us, Lord, as we, your children, sit around your table. Encourage us today as we see the news and as we read the newspapers and as we drive in our cars and we listen to the radio, things are going from bad to worse. It is to be expected because it was prophesied that this would happen before Jesus comes. But encourage us in the midst of this upheaval. Encourage us, O Lord, we pray. Holy Spirit, again, take over the lesson. Have your way with our hearts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Satan is the ultimate serial killer. You know, most serial killers get caught. Well, Satan has yet to be caught. And he hasn't been caught not because God is ineffective or not because God has no ability to catch him. Oh, God can catch him right now. But as the great reformer Martin Luther once said, Satan is God's ape. Satan does exactly what God would have him to do. And in the all-wise counsel of God, Satan is still on the loose, wreaking havoc, fulfilling prophecy, bringing us closer to the return of the Lord. So we do not question God. We do not question how he goes about being God and the decisions that he makes. In his wisdom, we submit, and in his wisdom, we await a glorious outcome. So, today we're looking at Satan. This is Thursday, July 7th. Satan, a bloodthirsty serial killer on the global prowl. A bloodthirsty serial killer on the global prowl. Before we get into today's lesson, let me just give you a brief recap as to what we were talking about yesterday. Yesterday, we were looking at the phrase, here, there, and everywhere. It comes to us by means of Job 1:7, where Satan's reply to God is, I've been going to and fro in the earth from walking up and down in it. Satan has been here, Satan has been there, Satan has been everywhere. There's not been a corner on the face of the earth that Satan has not been in it. In addition to that, we looked at the different names of Satan, and we briefly mentioned them. We didn't discuss any of the many names of Satan. We didn't get in depth. We did not break down what all the names of Satan means. We just focused on Satan, the adversary. But by the Bible revealing that he has many aliases or many names, we are being schooled by God, because the Lord is giving us intel. You know, each one of Satan's names reveals something about his villainous character. Satan does not have a good name. All his names reveal there's something villainous about his character and very nature. We can take all of these names and do a profiling. You know how there are FBI agents that do serial killing or serial killer profiling? Well, we could take all these names of Satan and we can build a profile, and we can actually tell people who Satan is through and through. So, again, be alert. Be sober, for your enemy, the devil, walketh about, goes around, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. There's nothing good about Satan. As Jesus revealed, he was a murderer from the beginning. Satan is a murderer from the very beginning. And who did he murder? Our first parents, Adam and Eve, when he encouraged them to take a bite out of the forbidden fruit. And by so doing, he introduced sin and death into the human race. So today, Thursday, we want to continue this study on this serial killer whom the Bible reveals, whether you look at it from the book of Genesis' perspective or the book of Job or the book of Revelation. Satan is always on the move, looking to find someone, some group, some people, some nation, some community that he can destroy. Today, we want to look at the book of Revelation, in particular, Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And in Revelation chapter 12, we will discover that Satan has been permanently expelled from heaven, which means he can no longer go to heaven and accuse you and I of our sins. He's been permanently expelled from heaven. Number two, he has been permanently confined to the earth. And number three, he's extremely desperate and running out of time. Extremely desperate. And all of that is contained in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. Now, here in your outline, we have three different divisions or three different sections to Revelation 12. The first section is Revelation 12, 1 through 6, which proves that Satan tried to kill Jesus when Jesus was a baby. So it makes no difference whether you're an adult, whether you're a senior citizen, whether you're a young person or a newborn babe. Satan can care less. Why? Because it's in him to kill serially. He's a serial killer. When he gets that itch to kill, he goes on the prowl. He goes on the search. But he's been waiting for Christ to be born. And when he was born, he went after baby Jesus. Then in section number 2, from verses 17 through 12, we see that Satan goes after all of humanity, whether it makes up unsaved people or saved people. Satan is going just after humanity. And then in the final section of Revelation 12, verses 13 through 17, Satan goes after the end time remnant church. So there are three entities that Satan goes after. He goes after baby Jesus, he goes after humanity, and then he goes after the faithful in the remnant church. Are you a faithful one? Are you a zealous follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a cross-carrying believer? You know, Jesus said, if any man, if any woman would be my disciple, let them take up their cross and follow me. Are you a cross-carrier? If you are, Satan has put a bullseye on your back. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. He's coming for everyone who is serious about Jesus and serving Jesus. So let's turn to Revelation 12, and we want to read our first section. Our first section is comprised of Revelation 12, verses 1 through 6. Revelation 12, 1 through 6. Now, with an open Bible, let's read starting at verse number 1. Here it is. Now, remember, in this section, Satan, the red dragon, the bloodthirsty, blood-spilling red dragon, is after baby Jesus.
Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars.
Now the woman identified here is none other than the ancient nation of Israel. The 12 stars, representative of the 12 tribes, the sun and the moon, if you remember, In Bible language, the sun represents the father, the moon, the mother. And in ancient Israel, we know that the patriarchs represented the sun and the matriarchs represented the moon. Abraham and Sarah were a sun and moon pair. And Leah were a sun and moon pair. Isaac and Rebekah were a sun and moon pair. Every man born of woman, every person born of woman comes from a moon and a sun pair, the father and the mother, the patriarch and the matriarch. Now, Israel emphasized patriarchy and matriarchy the same way we do today, the church, the true church of the living God. We are not into same-sex marriage. We're not into having two daddies or two mommies. That won't work. The combination that works is a sun and a moon, a mom and a dad, and then the 12 stars represents the 12 children who come from that sun and that moon. That is ancient Israel. So Jesus comes from, remember, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews. In other words, salvation came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the nation of Israel. That's where Jesus proceeded from the ancient Hebrew people.
Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail overthrew the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born.
Now consider the language. 1 Peter 5:8, Satan as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may what? Devour. What is the dragon? Who is another representation of Satan? Satan and the lion in 1 Peter 5:8 are one and the same. This dragon here, this imagery of this dragon, this red, bloodthirsty, blood-spilling dragon, is one and the same with the lion in 1 Peter 5:8. What does the dragon and the lion both do? They devour. They devour. Verse 5.
She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
All right, so Jesus is born, and of course, as a baby, Jesus is not put to death. Baby Jesus escapes Satan's clutches, because God so designed it that way. Jesus was to die as a man, not as a baby. And then after his death, burial, and resurrection, he was caught up to God. That's called the ascension. And now he rules in heaven. He sits on a throne alongside of his father, awaiting his second return. So Jesus is caught up to heaven. Before doing so, he gives the disciples the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and reminds them that he will soon return. Then the woman or the church or the disciples or the believers are left on earth, and she is protected by God. So there you have it. Satan goes after baby Jesus. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, in this section that we've just read, verses 1 through 6, this is prophetic imagery. To get the historical counterpart of this, You have to go to Matthew chapter 2. Because in Matthew chapter 2, you actually see that the proxy that the dragon uses, or the agent, the human agent that Satan uses to get rid of baby Jesus, is King Herod. So King Herod was the instrument that Satan was using to get rid of the Christ child. So let's listen to Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1 through 23. Matthew 2, starting at verse 1 all the way through verse 23, so that you can see how this played out historically, even though we have a snapshot of it in 6 verses prophetically in the book of Revelation chapter 12. So here is Matthew chapter 2 in its entirety, and let's read it so that we can see that Satan the serial killer always operates via proxies or via agents.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem,
for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.
When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born.
In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem.
Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.
When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream.
Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.
There you have it. So in verse 12, the Magi are warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod and reveal the location of the child. Then in verse 13, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and also tells him to flee into Egypt. This is how God prevents the dragon, who is using Herod as the proxy, to protect the child. God protects his child. God protects Jesus. The dragon has no access to Jesus, although Herod, as the text says in verse 13, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him, to put him to death. Verse 14.
When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet.
Out of Egypt I called my son.
Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men.
Now, you see, Herod, in his desperation, has all the children from 2 years old and younger, all of them, slaughtered. That's the dragon's desperate attempt to get rid of Messiah, but Messiah slips through his hands, as Revelation 12, verses 1 through 6, reveals prophetically. Let's continue reading, starting at verse 17 of Matthew 2.
Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet.
A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more.
Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt.
Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. But those who sought the young child's life are dead.
So now he gets permission because, again, those who were bent on the child's destruction, they're dead. They had a mission. The mission was to take the child's life. They are dead. So there you have it. There is the dragon's attempt to destroy the man-child, which was born of the woman who was the woman in Revelation 12, which is a picture, ancient nation of Israel, who brings forth the Messiah. So, again, Satan goes after Christ. Now, in returning to Revelation 12, now we have, starting at verse 7 through verse 12, now we have an account of 2,000 years of church history in which Christ and his church are safe for now, but Satan goes after humanity. So let's return to Revelation 12, starting at verse 7, Revelation 12, 7, all the way down to verse number 12, and let's read the text and see what it reveals.
Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer.
Now the key verse is verse number 8. It says, after Michael and his angels prevailed against the devil and his angels, there was no longer a place found for the devil and his angels in heaven. In other words, they were what? They were permanently expelled from heaven. This is why Satan cannot run up to heaven anymore and accuse you and I, because he has been what? Permanently expelled. Now remember, in the book of Job, when he runs up, remember it says in Job chapter 1 that Satan would appear before God when the good angels would appear before God, and Satan would go up there and give his report to God as to his activities. And it was at that time that Satan, in bringing forth his report, he would accuse the brethren. He would accuse people like Job of wrongdoing in hopes that God would punish his followers for their wrongdoing. He's the accuser of the brethren. But ever since Jesus died on the cross, ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, ever since that moment that Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father, Satan has been permanently booted out. So Satan has not been to heaven in 2,000 years. He has not been given access before God for 2,000 years. He has been what? Permanently expelled. All right, let's continue to read there. Verse 9, because in verse 9 we have Satan's four aliases combined in one text.
So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven,
"Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time."
So there you have it. Satan is permanently banned from heaven, never again to have access. His fate was sealed once Jesus died on the cross. Once Jesus shed that blood that canceled out your sins, my sins, and everyone else's sins, Satan doesn't have a leg to stand on. This is why he can't run up there and accuse you and me, because your sins and my sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, it would be silly for him to run up there and accuse us when our sins have already been canceled out. So he got the permanent boot from heaven, but he is confined to the earth. This is why chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them," in other words, the church, the members of the church triumphant, those who have died in the Lord, they are so blessed. Why? Because they don't have to see Satan anymore come up there with accusations. "But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you, having great wrath." The serial killer is mad because he knows that he have but a short time. So again, if you look at the title for Thursday, July 7th, a bloodthirsty serial killer on the global prowl, permanently expelled from heaven, confined to the earth, extremely desperate and running out of time. So Satan, for the past 2,000 years, has been going after humanity. He's been making everybody's life on earth miserable for the past 2,000 years. Again, let's read verse 12. "Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Why? Satan is permanently banned. We don't have to hear his accusations, his lies. We don't have to hear his nonsense anymore. He's been kicked out of heaven for good. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you. This is where he's been confined. He's been confined to the earth. And if you read your history from the time of Christ till today, look at how much havoc Satan has been committing. Look at how much damage, how much bloodshed this serial killer of all serial killers has been perpetrating on the earth through his proxies. Remember, Herod was his proxy. And Satan has used people like Hitler and people like Nero, Emperor Nero, and Domitian, and so many other people, Napoleon, Bonaparte. Think about all the different people in world history from after the time of Christ to the present day, whom Satan has been using as puppets to bring woe to this earth. And he's mad because he knows he has but a short time. Now, in this final section, verses 13 through 17, since Satan is desperate, he now comes after the church. He hates the church. Why? Because we're the ones pointing people to Christ. We're the ones left behind to preach the gospel, to evangelize. So he hates us. So now, since he cannot destroy Jesus and he cannot destroy God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, he turns his attention to the people of God. Remember, he's our adversary. He's our Satan. He's our foe. He's our arch enemy. Because of our relationship with God the Father, because we're born again, we automatically have a bullseye on our back. So let's read verses 13 through 17, and let's see what Satan has in store for us in the near future. Verses 13 through 17 is future. We haven't entered into that period yet, but we shall be entering into it soon, as soon as Antichrist appears. Here is verses 13 through 17.
Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to a place, where she is nursed for a time, and times, and half a time, in the presence of the serpent.
Now, you have to remember that the woman of the Old Testament, the Israelites, the nation of Israel, those people who have the Old Testament, transitioned and became the woman of the New Testament. So you have the Old Testament, and this is why you as a Christian, unlike the Jews today who only have the Old Testament, you as a Christian, you have both testaments. You have the Old and the New Testament because you are the continuity. You are the extension of Israel today in the earth. We are what Paul calls in the book of Galatians, the Israel of God, the true spiritual people of the Lord. So now Satan, the dragon, draws his attention to the church, the bride of Christ, the woman. And if you notice, there's a place prepared for her. And I want you to focus on verse 15, 16, and 17, because there's something that happens here. Look at verse 15, 16, and 17. Focus on those three verses which are coming up right now.
So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the dragon. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
So if you look at verse 13, in verse 13, Satan is in dragon mode. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out onto the earth, he persecuted the woman. He's the dragon, Satan, the blood spiller. He pursues the woman, and he pursues her to destroy her by bloodshed. That's what persecution. But since that doesn't work in verse 14, the woman escapes. She escapes persecution. God preserves the woman. The church is not destroyed. Then he goes from dragon in verse 13 and 14. He's in dragon mode in those two verses. But then he morphs into serpent mode in verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, and the serpent, but wait a minute, I thought he was a dragon. Yeah, but he morphed because his dragon tactics didn't work, so now he went into serpent tactics. The dragon spills blood, the serpent deceives. How does Satan destroy the church? Well, he can destroy the church by killing its members physically, by reducing their numbers numerically, by slaughtering church people, or he can also destroy the church by means of deception. by means of false doctrine. So when Satan saw that he could not destroy the church through persecution, that in fact the church grew as a result of persecution, then he decided to destroy the church via false teaching and false teachers. That's when Satan went into serpent mode. And we were in serpent mode for 1,000 years. We had 1,000 years of the Dark Ages, 1,000 years in which people were not reading their Bibles, 1,000 years in which the Roman Catholic Church came into prominence and brought in so much doctrines of demons. And when Satan saw that he could not destroy the woman, that he could not have the flood of false doctrine carry her off and drown her as though it was a tsunami, then he went back into dragon mode. And so verse 17 speaks about the future. What's the future? Listen, the church today, and a lot of what is called the church today, has fallen into deception. You look at the Methodist denomination, almost carried away by deception. You look at the Lutheran denomination, almost carried away. You look at the Presbyterians, the Anglicans, the Episcopalians, the Pentecostals, the Baptists. Listen, most denominations have gone bad, but there is a remnant. And those who make up the remnant are those who keep the commandments of God, which is the Old Testament, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the New Testament. It is this group of people that the dragon goes after with persecution. So notice, he first starts out going after baby Jesus, but what happens? Baby Jesus is spared. Baby Jesus is saved. Then when he's kicked out of heaven, after being defeated by baby Jesus, then Satan goes after humanity. Well, 2,000 years that he's been at it, God has spared humanity because humanity is here today. And now since Satan cannot destroy humanity, he's going to go after the remnant church, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost humanity. And so there you have it. We're going to leave it there. You ponder all these verses. You go back and read it and ask God to give you some sense of enlightenment. And we'll be back tomorrow to continue our study of Revelation 13. Listen, in all of these chapters, whether you read Job 1 or whether you read Matthew 2 or you read Revelation 12 or tomorrow we're going to read Revelation 13, you can see Satan's footprints. He's been here. He's been here, there, and everywhere. Tune in tomorrow for part 4. I hope and pray this has been a blessing to you.
What wondrous love is this, oh my soul? Sinking down. the throne.